Okay, we're past five. We're in session.
Where?
We don't know where Mutchler is, but we think he's coming.
He said he was. He's the one who told me about this.
On Facebook or something?
Are we supposed to read all of this right now?
Yes, there's a quiz. You have 10 minutes.
Quiet reading. According to the administrator's report, this was just supposed to be an overview tonight.
But very broad.
Big O. Overview.
We're going to talk fast. It'll be overview.
Overview works fast.
So I thought I'd not try to direct this tonight, so just ask any questions anytime, any subject. I thought I'd do something different, so I won't get frustrated. I wanted to show you some paper I did not make copies of. And if you want to know more, I can email you this thing. But here's a great big report on all of the planned headcount for 2015, like 62 heads. And what fund those 62 folks are charged to, if you will. Mm-hmm. 40 equivalent heads charged to the general fund, you know, the police, and city hall staff, and all that stuff. And then it goes down a little different. Street fund is 5 people in it, which is kind of amazing, only 5 people equivalent, a little over 5 people for the street fund. And water funds, almost 7, sewers, 5, and storm is a little over 3. And our maintenance fund has got one person, the mechanic, plus 1.15, so it's a little bit of everybody out there in public works. So you should be happy I didn't make copies of that, but it's available if you're interested. We also want to know, where are people charged? Who's in the general fund? Who's in the water fund? I also have a list of planned salary raises. And, you know, we have settled, we know what the raises are for 2015 for 7 non-reps and 4 machinists. The others are yet to be negotiated, and we're in the middle of that now. We've started that. I've assumed in this scenario 2% raises and keeping the same health care plans next year as we have this year. Now, we're going in negotiating different than that. In fact, the non-reps have, I don't know if taken is the right word, but non-reps have gone to the $20 copay group health plan, which is substantially less expensive for the city and substantially more expensive for the employees. I did not make copies of that, but I have it available. So let me know. Also, a summary of each employee, what their salary is, what their total insurance is, what their retirement dollars is, what their Social Security is, and what their clothing or boot allowance is. Save some trees. Oh, and my last great big report I did not make copies of is all those 62 employees and what type of health insurance they have, whether they have group health, whether they have Regents, whether they have dental through AWC, or dental through another firm, actually dental through machinist dental. We have all kinds of different plans. And another sheet that shows the labor and industries rate per hour for each employee. Obviously, public works folks out in the field, they pay a higher rate, like 66 cents an hour worked. The police pay 68 cents an hour worked. Not on vacation, worked. And then the various retirement plans, where the police retirement left twos. The city's portion of their retirement is 5.23% of salary. Reasonable, 5% of salary. But PERS 1 and PERS 2, 10.21%. Over 10% of salary is what the city has to pay for next year average. Did not make you copies of that, so anyway.
Are those online, or we need to come in the office?
It's one great big Excel file. Let me know if you want one. I'll send it to you. It's a great big thing.
How many megabytes? It was like 20, 30 megabytes.
How many megabytes? It's a great big thing.
Gotcha.
All those details build to summaries, and those are some of those handed out tonight. So, overview. Let's look at the great big sheets first, because it's a little easier. The great big sheets is our water, sewer, storm utilities. And summary is, on the very first page, predicted cost, predicted revenues is favorable. We are meeting all of our debt service coverage requirements. That's that great big thing, 8.5 by 17. And it shows a lot of detail for water, for sewer, and for storm. We've laid in the capital budget for the CIPs dollar for dollar where we can. Since we're spending a chunk of money this year on water softening, and as you recall, we financed that water softening, $2 million through, I guess, general reserves, plus we got $200,000 from this PUD a couple years ago when we got out of that agreement, and interfund loan from sewer without raising rates. So water sewer storm looks healthy. For our bond covenants, we need to have a debt service coverage ratio of 1.2 or better, meaning recurring revenues less recurring expenses equals net revenue plus connection fees divided by annual debt service. So you get a 1.2 or better. That's a bond covenant requirement. And we combined water, sewer, storm for that. So the very first page of that big sheet, we're in good shape. Moving along to this shape. They're all different shapes, so that's how I planned it. So they stay together for a while. 8.5 by 14. So let's look at the other funds other than water, sewer, storm. I left out debt service because they're kind of boring. They're looking good, debt service funds. I don't have any capital road projects in here. We'll come to you when we firm those up for next year. We'll have some continued work on Church Road, certainly. And once we pick, Public Works Director picks other projects, we'll bring that to you with funding plans. But looking at the very first page of this shape, this is the general fund cash position, and the bottom row shows percent of reserves goal. And we'll get into the general fund in a sec, but this is the cost we have laid in here. You can see for 2014, we'll finish at 108% of our reserves goal. We'll have about $1.9 million in cash predicted. Our reserves is $1.769. And then we barely make our reserves goal for 2015 the way the costs and the revenues are laid in on the next two pages. And then we slowly ratchet down, and we got to address that as we ratchet down in 16 and on. So the next page, page 1A, is our general fund assumptions on revenue. And in a nutshell, the upper left-hand corner on the assumptions is we assume 2% raises, except those that we've already have agreements, like the four people in the machinist union. Those are the planners, the GIS folks. Wendy is in there for her work, and so is Art for her work at Storm. And those folks have a contract. Non-reps have a contract. So the assumption is everyone else gets 2%, and we do add a detective that you authorized mid-year this year, but the police chief chose not to fill that position as we had some other non-labor expenditures, like that free MRAP. It kind of amounted a little bit paint and maintenance. So you kind of already authorized the next detective, and the assumption is here we hire that person and backfill mid next year. And no solid waste revenue rate increases. Stuck at 12.5% forever in this assumption. And we keep the Regents Group health plans that we currently have out there, even though non-reps have switched, and I've shown that switch to the other plan. And currently we have a 40% incentive for those that switch to group health. We pay the employees an temporary additional salary of 40% of the difference in premiums. So there's a handful of folks on group health now, and they will, in this assumption, keep that as additional temporary additional salary. We don't pay retirement on that because it's additional, as temporary. So for 2015, I've upped the sales tax recently because it's looking stronger this year, and 2 months in a row it's coming pretty strong. Hopefully it'll continue. We'll know that in about 8 days. Say what?
Can we go back to that medical thing? I thought we were everybody was going to group health.
Yeah, that's
and
our position.
The difference.
That's our position for bargaining for the four union contracts that we need to do.
Okay, mm-hmm. But who is getting 40% and getting to keep that?
The folks that are on group health $10 copay now, as kind of an incentive to switch. And there's 10 or 12 or so that have already switched to group health.
Jerry, I'm still, I thought everybody was going to that. We were doing away with, like Sam, for example.
That's our position.
But why are we, who's still going to get 40% of the savings? And why is that?
This is a conservative view: higher costs, lower revenue. It's
yeah, we have two plans now: Regents and Group Health. And currently, Group Health, the premiums are cheaper than the Regents coverage. So we currently have in our union agreements, if someone voluntarily says, "I'll leave Regents and go to Group Health," they get 40% of the difference in the premium. So we gain 60% of the difference in the premiums. Now the new health plans we're offering are also Group Health and Regents. They're different Group Health and Regents, but they're still Group Health and Regents. So those that have opted for that voluntary switch into Group Health will continue to get their 40% difference. And I don't remember, I think the difference between the two new plans is less than the difference between the two old plans, so their percentage amount would go down, but we still then gain that advantage of the 60%
cost. Well, I don't
want
to talk about that in an open session. But,
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can cover it.
Yeah. How long does that last?
For as long as, well,
as long as it's in the union
agreement. As long as it's in the union agreement. What changes is the differential in premiums. It used to be that Regents was substantially more than Group Health. They're now starting to close that gap between the two. So as that gap closes, the savings to the city decreases and the savings to the employee. It may be someday that it's the other way around. I mean, it's conceivable that Regents could become cheaper in the future, who knows, than Group Health.
It's part of the premise is, I mean, we're going to have a fight on that or we're going to have a discussion on it. I'd really like to stick to two-year contracts. You know, I mean, obviously, people would like to go longer, but the medical is still balancing.
Yeah, it really is.
You want to tell me what's even going to be in the prices for the end of 15. I have no idea.
But the big deal for this is that Mark is being conservative and he's using the old plan costs. Which are still available just through negotiations. We hope to transition everybody over to the new plans, which will lower the city's costs. And, of course, it will have a rather dramatic effect on our general fund balance.
When are you hoping to have the agreements in place?
It all depends on how reasonable they and we want to be. We've met once already with the Public Works unit of Teamsters, and we're going to be meeting again, and we're also going to be meeting very soon for the clerical group. For the Guild, they've sent us their first proposal, and we're going to be meeting here probably in about a week to go over that. So we're into the negotiations now.
It's not unlike how we anticipated. Sheets used to contain two or three sheets of issues, and it's a one-page sheet with medical, wages, not much else.
Not much else.
And interesting to note that with the police guild and the police management unit, I believe it's also the police management unit, we go to interest arbitration. The other unions, the Teamsters, we do not. There's no arbitration feature, so... We'll try our best with our going-in position, and if we come to impasse, there's a procedure there where we wait a year, and that becomes contract.
Okay.
So different union, different rules. So we're going to try our best to keep our costs low, obviously.
So these numbers will be changing once we get a little further into negotiations, probably incrementally as we settle each unit. Mark will go ahead and roll the reality of that into these.
But I guess to answer a question, I don't anticipate this going beyond end of December.
I would hope not. We're starting, I think, early enough. I think the issues are narrow enough that at a certain point in time you either agree or you agree to disagree, and that becomes clear.
Okay.
The assumptions on health care increases... 3% for Regents, 4% for Group Health, 8% for Dental, for AWC Dental. Still on page 1A, we'll go quickly here. Line 18, row 18 says permits residential, the Meadows. We've assumed 27 units in 2015.
Page again, please.
Page 1A of this 8.5 by 14 version. Yeah.
Line 18.
Line row 18 is the assumption there on the Meadows. We kind of scale that back dramatically. So we're assuming 27 houses we'd get money for in 2015. Brings in $81,000 to the general fund. And then you see it laddering out in 16, 17, and 18. Page 2B is the expense side. And you go down the bottom, row 118 for 2015. We're underwater $102,000 at this point. Again, union contracts, the way they settle, we'll update this.
We have a 1B.
You have a 1B?
I said a 1B.
1B.
Do you have a 1B? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I said 2B.
Yeah, you did say 2B.
Or not
2B. Sorry.
No,
I was confused for a second, too.
That was a test to see if you're paying attention. I wasn't. So anyway, we're $100,000. We should be able to shrink that. Hopefully get it down to zero. Now, we do have the nonprofits in here, $13,000. The same four nonprofits and the same amounts. Page 4 shows our left one, police retiree fund. Cash fund balance growing not very much, but cash balance growing slowly, assuming a 6% escalation on costs. I had 8% in last year, but 6% seems like a more reasonable. Yes, sir.
And I was thinking of something. I don't know if this would take much of it. Every year, sort of in my mind, there are two numbers I like to have. One of them is the state has their formula, what they think we should have.
Yes.
And then Mark Peterson has his formula.
Yes.
I don't know if we could have both of those in front of us
okay.
every year. You know, it's just, I'm sure it's easy to do, and I'm always kind of wondering because I sort of find that middle ground there somewhere. Thank you, sir.
I'll do that.
Yeah. Do you know maybe just kind of ballpark what those two numbers are?
They're real big numbers.
A lot more than
I know. Yours is
3 million.
Yours is a big number.
$3 million.
Yours is a tiny number. I recall.
And theirs is less than a million. And, yeah. and I think theirs is way unreasonable.
That.
But I will do that.
Why did the cash balance drop dramatically between 2013 and 2014, and then now you're projecting it up again?
Well, we had an in fund loan to the library in 13. It was repaid this year in 14. Turned $25,000. Yeah.
I see it. All right.
That's been repaid.
Thank you.
Yeah, so the way it looks, we can really only go with $100,000 a year from solid waste, and then it kind of peters out in 19 and 20. Mm-hmm. Speaking of...
2020.
Yeah, sorry. 2019, 2020. Speaking of solid waste, page 5, again, the rate is frozen at 12.5% per your direction a few months ago. And our challenge is we're going to add a second detective in mid-year 2015. That should be about $50,000. That's with a car from the reserve fleet. Hope everybody remembers that statement. That's with a car from the reserve fleet.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, in 2016, the full-year detective is $105,000. So if you look at the bottom row there, row 59, the solid waste tax fund balance shrinks to really low in 2020. Really low. We got debt service payments. We're feeding the left one retiree fund. A lot of debt service payments.
I don't want to open up this.
Go ahead.
Go for it. We have time.
Okay. Well,
I didn't expect to get through this whole thing.
Is long range planning, is that person still here?
Yeah, he's right there.
No, he's not.
He does
I
it.
Remember who
he
it
does
was,
it. That was Rob. Story. Rob's gone, but Yori's here. He does about three people's worth of work.
Somebody else, isn't it?
No, Yori's down about at least 2.5 heads from 2009.
Oh, when we had the specialty.
Remember that guy?
Yeah, what was it? Rob.
Yeah,
Millspaw. That was his name.
Millspaw. How soon they freaking.
Yori's doing it now.
You know, we hired the specialty guy to do that.
Uh-huh.
We just rolled it in.
You're right, still rolled in. You're right.
Okay. I just thought I'd throw that out.
Well, if you want to take it out, we're in big trouble.
No.
I know. So page 101 is a street fund.
Mark,
go ahead.
Back on 5, sequestration. Yeah. Didn't I see that's continuing?
It's continuing apparently forever. You know, our 2010 Build America bonds, whereby the federal government pays one-third of the interest payments, because those are taxable bonds. The federal government did sequestration, so we're losing money every year. Solid waste has to make it up. It went up slightly. It's like 7.5% of the interest payments.
Mark, just to refresh my memory, how long is the bond, how many years out is the bond for the Pioneer Pavilion?
20 years from 2010.
I guess it was 20 years.
2030.
So 2030?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Keeps going. Page 101 streets. This is kind of tough. Solid waste provides most of the funding for streets. I don't have that row numbered, but it's the third row down on revenues. And the way we've laid in the assumptions on the public works folks and what percentage of their time they spend on streets, it's pretty tough. We don't have much of a cash balance left in 2015 and 16, so we need to think about, hopefully gas tax, penny gas tax will help, but think about how we're going to fund streets, just recurring stuff, just the ongoing stuff. And a little over five people, including management, in streets. It's not a lot of people. So that's a challenge. We show that we do have folks that do charge to street projects, assuming $100,000 a year worth of their time, charging to street projects, and that helps the street fund recurring costs. So there's a challenge on street. 102 is park mitigation. We're having a real short year this year in terms of revenues. $45,000 is my guess, but returning to $100,000 with reasonable residential starts, housing starts. So there's not a lot of money left in that fund for even little stuff like, you know, whatever you can think of, a new lawnmower. $6,000 is our projection for cash balance. For
we do need a new lawnmower, don't we?
I'm sure we do.
I think the other one did.
We just bought one.
I thought the one was dead.
Well, I mean, I think we need another one. So it's in the expenditure decision cards.
So the Meadows, they just didn't do anything that we expected this year? Or is that mean you expected $100,000? Because they haven't really done anything.
I put it at zero, so I don't think we're going to see any money. If we do, that'd be great if we do. But it's going to be small, not in 14.
Are they building? Because I don't see them doing anything.
They're not doing anything.
Well, that lift station
out there, there's nothing. They're just sitting there.
Yeah, they're right now. They've done the final review. They want to do the lift station and the road improvements first. And
but it seems like it's been months since.
Chad probably knows more than I do about this, but I understand the comments were reviewed.
There's some outstanding issues with the belt agreement that we're still working on their engineer.
Okay. With the lift station?
Didn't we both accept that then?
Yeah. It's just you have to now implement it.
There's costs. So there's a cost share element, as folks might be aware, in the city and the developer. We don't have a final engineer's estimate cost, so we can't finalize the agreement until we have. If we know what it costs, we can't enter an agreement.
Okay. Who's going to provide that?
Wheaton Engineering is working on it. They've had some delays getting some numbers from 372 for the three-phase power that's required of the substation.
Okay.
Soon, I hope. But it's not in our report.
Check in the mail.
Yeah. Page 104 is our traffic mitigation or TIF monies. Again, 2014, it's a real low year, and we expect that to recover in 2015. Still, the prediction is $181,000 left in cash this year and then $500,000 left in cash in 15, and that's used for road projects to supplement any grants, as well as TBD money supplements grants.
What road are you planning to do next? Are we going to just do repairs and not do anything new, or do you have that? Have you decided yet what you're going to do road-wise next year? You don't have. I mean, you can say no.
At this point, the list of needs is greater than the amount of money we have.
That's so good.
Welcome to Ferndale.
There's going to be
welcome to every city.
When we get down to Mark and I have had some discussions about getting the operating costs kind of get that narrowed down.
I'd be happy to take a year off and just fix stuff and not do anything. Just for some.
Mark. I think Borton would be our next big project, and it's a ways away still.
And that has to be, that's an ask. We'd have to ask people to pay for Thornton. We can't.
Okay. We won't be constructing Thornton. You know, engineering studies, right?
Well, and then there's the
yeah.
It's also kind of the fact.
Yeah, make decisions.
You know, if the gas tax passes, I'm in terms of revenue stream to the street fund. I know we, excuse me, central services and you know those kind of allocations that come out of those things. So let's just use a round number. Let's say it's $100,000 in a year. How much of that would we actually see street fund? $100,000, or is it kind of?
You see dollar for dollar, $100,000.
Oh, okay.
The central service cost is already in there. It's already in the expense.
Okay.
It's, yeah, I mean that
doesn't come out of that piece. It already has come out of the budget.
It will. It'll just probably go up for inflation. You're talking salaries and central costs and your salaries.
But can you really trust council?
The mayor's salary.
Good point.
Page 111, REIT 1, which is used for city facilities, looks pretty strong this year. Continuing that into 15 and on, we have some dedicated debt service expense, however, but we do show about a $250,000 cash balance. And
but that's a balance if, for some reason, Star Park happened, because then that would come out there.
Yeah, that's one fund that you could apply to a Star Park. Yep.
Yeah.
Or any other capital facility.
Okay. And so the community center as well. Then could
it could money. Certainly. Okay. Now I have a reserve goal on that last row of next year's debt required debt service. So if you want to maintain that, there's not much money available.
Okay, so you had the balance is 250 and you want to keep 223 for reserve.
Yeah, just next year's required debt service on three different bonds.
Okay.
And page 112, REIT 2 is for roads.
Yeah.
Roads, and you can use it for maintenance. Now, I did add in here a new thing I want to point out to you. I don't have these rows numbered, sorry, but summer parks workers, we spend about $20,000 a year in summer parks workers. That's 4 months or so that we hire temp folks, and I'm suggesting that you would fund that with REIT 2. That would be a new funding source.
Mm-hmm.
We also funded, as you see, the $50,000 for the Star Park design and construction. Previously, we already dedicated $20,000 this year. But it does leave 181 in 15 and then 386 projected in the end of 16.
Do you have a reserve goal for this one, or you don't worry about this one?
I don't.
Okay.
Because there's no ongoing debt service here. The streetlights run out in 2015.
Okay.
Mark, what's your reasoning behind moving the parks people to this?
It's a source of revenue we haven't tapped before, and the general fund is hurting.
Take pity on the general fund.
Yeah. It's there in front of you. You know, yes or no.
Well, what would happen to this fund or the parks part of it if they go to the Metropolitan Parks District?
Good question. I don't know.
Good answer.
You get a whole lot more property tax if it's voted in.
But won't that go to
it's in the city limits, though. It's in the confines of the city limits.
Well, the new parks district get the money?
Only to transfer the parks to them.
That has yet to be decided.
That'd be one way to go.
Even if a metropolitan district has passed and you've set an amount, there's still going to be a city. We can still make a city contribution to, and it may be that something like Pioneer Park will be pulled out, and it will be an entity by itself and will not be part of the parks. Those decisions haven't been made yet. Am I correct, Gary?
Yeah. Correct.
Or we could just give them all our parks.
We will not necessarily encompass all our parks into the Metropolitan Parks District. Not necessarily.
But will we still collect park mitigation fees?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even though.
Okay.
And most of that is dedicated to three different bond debt services.
That's what I was wondering.
20 more years.
We'll still be able to collect those mitigation fees, even though we were maintaining the
parks. All right. Everybody reasonably depressed?
Always.
Depressed or depressed?
I said depressed. Now let's look at this page. This is this revenue decision cards. We'll kind of blow through these and then just get better.
Blow right through those decisions.
8.5 by 11, the little thin package here.
Decision card index?
Yeah. revenue decision card index. It's this little guy.
There you go.
So I was asked at previous meetings, do I have any ideas about raising revenue? And I kind of shied away from that. But I did put in a couple here for your consideration. One is no big surprise, a 1% property tax increase. That assumption is, it's in the budget assumption, 1% property tax increase. That's, we have been taking 1%, I believe, for the last 2 years.
So it is in the other documents you've given.
It's in there. Yeah, I made a little mistake. So it's in the budget, it should say yes. So that would leave us bank capacity of about almost 60 grand. Got those figures today from the assessor. Banked. Second item is kind of interesting, is my deal. Business licenses for industries, for industrial and wholesale customers. Companies, there aren't that many for Ferndale, 10, 12, 14. If you think about the vitamin company of the world and the bacon company and the rope company, Cargill, others, FastCap, Gary's neighbor, we get property taxes, no retail sales tax, very little. And some cities assess a annual fee per employee. City of Redmond assesses some big number per head, and that's where Microsoft is located within the city.
For the 30,000 Microsoft.
Yeah. So this is just an idea.
When you talk about that, because you talked about it before, is the cities that do a head count fee, do they also have a B&O, or did you check?
I didn't make that comparison. I have attached here toward the middle those cities and those that do charge a fee per employee. The second page shows Redmond $92 per FTE, and that's how they do their business licenses. We currently don't. We have a range in our current business license fee schedule. We do charge a little bit more flat fee if you're over 20 heads, but I don't know how accurate that is in terms of collecting money. But here's a suggestion that we go to street fund, 20 grand a year. It's a change from a flat $281 to $50 a head, and I have some assumptions buried in here about which companies it is, my estimate of number of employees, and it's just a guess. If you Cascade DAFO, 35 employees. Templer's 80 employees are running two shifts now. Samson Rope, 45 employees. Trivan Truck Bodies, 45. Just my guess and what they'd be paying versus what they're typically paying now.
So the premise is that a company that isn't selling anything here, so they don't get sales tax, they're here, their employees are here. We get the money when they construct their factory. The premise is, okay, you're making a product now with Destiny sales tax that goes elsewhere, but you've got these employees working here. So in a sense, it is kind of a B&O.
It's a road use tax.
Are they costing the city something with the extra employees? So that's why we want to...
Well, yeah, they're burning up the roads.
The premise is they're driving back and forth on your roads.
Okay.
Why you could... They get police coverage. You could put that to general fund?
Yeah, normally business licenses are directed to general fund. I'm suggesting here we grab this category of businesses. We call them industrial / wholesale, like Walton Beverage, and say we're getting that to street fund.
So maintenance. I look at land. Let's say the Samson site. I'm not picking on Samson. And all he pays is real estate taxes.
Correct.
And approximately 1/6 of that comes here. That's always been the number, right? About 1/6 of your total tax bill. We can look it up. It comes here. So.
Some of it comes here, yep.
A ballpark? Any idea what that's that big of a piece of property? Because that's all we get.
I can look it up for Samson Road.
That's all. I mean, yeah, I might be interested. Or FastCap, wherever.
That is
it. In terms of revenue, the city is property tax.
I mean, do these people have a lot of big trucks and stuff?
I'm concerned.
I'm concerned. I know that other cities are doing this.
Yeah.
I'm still a little bit concerned about what kind of a message that sends to our businesses as far as
you're right.
How we value them.
It's quite a big increase for each one of those businesses.
Can we get, is that applied to the jail?
Well, they don't require a business license. I thought about the school district, but they don't require a business
license. People with guns, guns don't have business
licenses. The tie is that they
business license. They're doing work in the city limits, so we're not talking about outside. City limits.
And they self-report their employee count?
Yeah, we're going to put that in the letter that goes out, the invoice that goes out this time.
I can see, Mark, that we better schedule a little more time for that discussion because I'm looking at some
faces. This is an intro.
Faces that want to ponder that one.
Well, I'm just wondering where you came up with your number, because I believe Cascade Dapple, I think, has like 200 employees.
There you go. This is really rough.
Okay. Samson Ropes, like 105. So
yeah, 20 grand is low, then.
Yeah. That'd be a big hit.
I don't know. We'd probably go out in the parking lot, count cars, get our code enforcement people.
Well,
it'd
be interesting to talk to. Do we know any of those cities that did it recently? I'd just love to have that conversation.
Well, the whole big list of them here. I don't know if they did it recently.
It's a concept. You're all doing exactly what I'm doing. It's like, I've never heard of that before. Can you do that?
But for Redmond, Microsoft was a huge infrastructure issue because literally 30,000 people come in the morning and 30,000 people leave, and they all go to lunch at the same time, 30,000.
Yeah, I see the nexus.
But for us, I don't know that.
Probably thought process is going after Bill Gates is a little different.
I know. I've been
Samson Rowe.
It's an idea.
I know. I see the nexus. I understand. It'd be interesting.
I see it also. It's an interesting concept. My only concern is
we're trying to get more businesses.
We're trying to get more businesses in.
Yeah, and they're leaving Bellingham because of the B&O tax.
Uh-huh.
But we're not going to put a B&O tax. We're going to put a head tax.
What you're doing, Brent, you call it whatever it is. I mean, we also have something that, you know, Bellingham doesn't have. It, you know, solid waste is kind of a hybrid B&O.
Bellingham do it?
No, Bellingham
does B&O. Well, they're probably
nothing close to what a B&O tax would collect.
They're not on the list, so they don't participate in the AW.
Nothing close to what a B&O tax would typically collect.
It's not.
Take a Cascade Dapple with 200 employees times $50. What is that, $5,000?
$10,000. Yes, that's more. That's a pretty good chunk.
I understand that, but Cascade Dapple would play a lot for it.
B&O is a tax on gross revenue.
What is a typical, what's Bellingham's B&O?
Way less than 1%.
It's like some 2%. Small.
Oh, yeah,
it's a small.
That's on all gross revenues.
Yeah, we'll
3/10 of 1%.
Of all sales?
On all of your revenue.
Of all their sales?
Well, yeah. Usually there's a minimum. Over a certain amount.
B&O, it's on the gross revenues, not on the
profit. Not on the profit. So it's pretty tough.
It's big. I think we asked one time, like $300,000 to the city. I remember asking somebody that number popped in the noodle there.
Wouldn't surprise me. The next item is something that we've done before, and in fact, we did it for this year. We lowered water rates and sewer rates and increased utility tax. The homeowner typically saw zero change on the bill, total bill. Brought more money in to the general fund and less money into the water fund. This proposal brings $64,000 a year every year. Maybe that'll buy one or 1.5 police cars to do it again. Lower water by 3%. And why could we do this? Well, we're getting another $20,000 a year from Central City in water sales each year. That helps. So I've done the calculation. In fact, those big sheets already had the 3% out of it in terms of revenue. One timer and it sings. So it's another idea. Typical homeowner doesn't see a change in the total bill.
When do we need the new cars? Don't we need them fairly soon?
Well, we'll get to that next thing if we have time. But he wants a lot of police cars.
Yeah,
lots of police cars.
I think it's pretty soon that we're going to.
Mark, don't we have automatic rate increases for water?
We do.
Yeah. So we would take it and then we would give it, I guess. And then take it?
Uh-huh.
just one time on the 3%.
Yes, we got 120 customers just boom really well from Central City. We never have
even at 80%
20% discount. That's a nice shot in the arm.
But you're adjusting for the general fund.
Mm-hmm. It brings more money to the general fund if you're interested. It's an easy thing to do. Well, easy mechanically to do.
We'll be by mid-November when we've seen all
the money. To me, it doesn't look good when you're saying, okay, we can lower it 3% here, but by the way, you're having a rate increase.
Yeah.
It's counter, it
feels like we're overcharging in the first place.
Exactly.
I think if you explain why we're doing it, I mean, because the rules of the general fund change. I mean, so we have to pay for more stuff out of the general fund. So.
How does Jed feel about you? You're the cash cow. We're just taking it out of there.
You're saying we can lower it 10%, but you're still going to raise it. It's not that high.
I know. It's hard to explain.
See, there
you go. As the
director of public works for the city
of Ferndale, and manager
of your utilities,
I don't necessarily encourage that practice, but. Just an idea. Yeah. Now, lastly, we'll go to this big, thick 8.5 by 11 package.
Expenditure decision cards.
We won't get through this. We'll just hit a couple highlights. And
jeez.
Yeah, that's the last thing I had to send out here.
Want to go and give them at least a 5-minute break? Or?
Sure, let's give them 5 minutes in a few minutes, huh? Okay. So support to nonprofits, that's in the budget already. That $13,050, the four, same four, gets in there. Funding available, yes. Well, not really, because we've got a 100,000 deficit, but it's in there. And you see some of these other ones. I want to jump to maybe the asbestos removal on Vista, Washington Vista, 30 grand.
Oh.
We could do that with TBD monies, if you so choose.
Is it 30 grand?
Where
I didn't
get
30?
Yeah,
it's
kind of a high number, I know, but.
A combination of this, we have a quote.
Oh, you're doing asbestos and removal,
yes,
of the house together.
Asbestos abatement and raising the house.
Let's asbestos. What you've said is asbestos. Why don't you go asbestos / removal of house?
Asbestos removal and demolition.
And demo.
Okay, good. That sounds better than what you're.
Yes. Thank you. It's even more clear with a demo. Wasn't clear at all. I know. Sorry. Let's see. What's else? Here's an interesting one from Yori. Community development. Half-time code enforcement, and with some moving around and expecting a few more bucks of revenue, the net cost would be about 13 grand to the general fund. I know some of you brought that up.
And actually, I just saw an email today from Yori. There might be an opportunity for us to partner with another city who's interested in a half-time code enforcement officer. Hmm.
Might get a little bit better.
It's actually
a candidate.
Split it so you have a full time.
Say who that city is?
Right. Starts with a B. It's not a nasty one.
Burlington?
Oh.
Explain.
What kind of comment is that?
Value?
How would we do that if
they're not big box store stealers?
Yeah. We'd have to figure out. One would probably need to be the official payor, and then the other one would simply reimburse them for half the cost.
The 13 grand would go up substantially if they're getting benefits.
Yeah, this is a 20-hour-a-week non-benefited position.
No health insurance. Right.
You want to apply?
So you already can find somebody like that? He says, yes, I can. All right. So the next item gets kind of costly. Police need 7 new vehicles, 345 grand, or 3 new vehicles if you want to run them 100,000 miles.
What
so
that,
that's a real challenge.
So explain it. Did everybody hear that? Because that's a big factor you can hear about.
Yeah.
7 police vehicles, 345 grand.
No, explain the mileage thing. I want them to know that.
At 80,000-mile replacement assumption, or 3 vehicles plus a scope at 100,000-mile replacement policy.
This is actually a discussion we're having internally because the idea of replacing 7 cars at once is something that we all gulped very hard on. So the issue becomes, how many miles should you put on a police car? And it varies. I spent some time on the internet. There are some communities that go relatively low, the 80,000. Most of them are now in the 100 to 120,000 mile range. But, and I'll be able to get you some of this information. One of the most interesting articles I found was, it's not how many miles you put on a vehicle in total. All of us in this room probably have had or will have in the future a car with over 100,000 miles on it. Today's cars are made a little better than the old days. The issue for many agencies, this is not only police, this is total fleet, is the number of miles you put on the vehicle per year. That's really wear and tear. If you put, and this is one article talked about, if you put more than 20,000 miles on a vehicle per year, you'll be lucky to make 100 or 125,000 miles. But if you're putting 6,000, 8,000 miles a year on a vehicle, they can normally, with good maintenance, last much longer. So begs
the question, what are we averaging per year?
We're under 10,000 a year right now. And the issue is the cars just start rattling. You know, is that a reason to get rid of them?
Mm-hmm. It seemed to me that that would be the opposite. If you're putting 20,000 miles on a year, that car will last, it will be 5 years old. If you're putting 10,000, that car will be 10 years old before it wears out.
It does seem opposite.
It would seem opposite of that.
Because it's just wearing out the same year.
Mm-hmm.
It wears out. Things, plastic and metal, wears out.
Mechanic, right. So the seats may become cracked. The windshield might have a chip in it. But the engine and the transmission and the suspension doesn't take the tear it takes when you're putting 20 or more thousand miles a year on
it. Police are hard on vehicles.
They are.
So they can't use that.
Some agencies don't buy, some agencies, especially smaller cities, they buy their vehicles from the county. I worked for a city once where all of our cars started off with 100,000 miles because we bought them from the county. So I'll get you some of that information.
Why are we buying a new car for scope?
The other one's worn out.
Well, then why don't we give them one of the...
Feature of the choir.
They're okay for public works to drive. They're okay for Yuri to drive to Spokane. Did you have any problems driving all the way to Spokane?
Not with the car.
The driver made me okay for you. I look at that, it's like, okay, well, they're okay for our people to drive all the way to Spokane in an old police car?
I'm hopeful, to kind of just jump to maybe the end, my hope is that we'll be able to bring you a scenario in which we replace one cop car a year, every year forever, which means we need to find a revenue source for $40,000 to $60,000 each year. That way you have this slow turnover.
What are you buying?
Excuse me?
For 40, 60,
well, the sedans are like 40.
They're about 40.
But lights, siren, computers, brackets, blah, blah, blah.
You know, that stuff doesn't transfer from one car to the other?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
They try.
They're expensive.
And they're going to a whole new body style. You know, it used to be Crown Vic to Crown Vic. Yeah. Well, now it's Crown Vic to SUV or something.
All right,
else.
Well, we need to work a little bit on that section.
The real message there is that we need to come up with what is an acceptable rotation sequence that the city is comfortable with, that we have a funding mechanism for, because the Fed funding for these vehicles is dried up. So it can be done.
And lastly, tonight under Public Works, about midway through, there is a stormwater inspector maintenance tech, a July, not 2015 hire.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually in the rate structure, in the storm funding rates, and y'all kind of approved that, at least when you did the bond, and mm-hmm. we saw the revenue stream there. So it's covered.
That's FTE cost?
Right. It would be half a year's worth, and then it goes to full-time. Of course,
we agreed to that last year. Yeah.
We did, yeah. So, you know, and then there's several items here that Chad's got here, and I guess we'll pick it up. Need trucks, pickup trucks, mowers, you know, all those things. Big thing is facilities, 85 grand facilities maintenance. We touched on that in committee a little bit.
Quick question, though, the 85, I thought it was 85 including the 41.6. It was 85 total including the 41.6? Okay, so you don't need the 41.6 there.
Looks like we need to buy our police pickup trucks because they get four pickup trucks for $88,000.
Yeah, they're a lot less expensive. Those Dodges are pretty good price.
A little gun rack in them.
Yeah, you're right. Those numbers are...
Okay. All right, back in our old Paul?
River debris removal? Do they allow us to go in the river? Department of Ecology didn't even want us to cut down the trees.
Yeah, it's around the
I know where it's at.
It's a log jam. Right?
I know where it's at. But
I thought the railroad did that. The railroad doesn't do that?
The railroad does it for their trestle.
Yeah.
This is for our bridge.
Oh.
it's theirs first. Dumping ours.
Good. Well, thank you for your attention.
One more question from John. This is kind of a more big picture question, so I'm just going to ask it, but it's probably going to start my next meeting.
Sure.
Page 1.6, the deficit for...
are you on these little ones?
No, this
big.
This one. The deficit is at 102 predicted for...
1B.
1B.
For 15. My question... 1B. I'm sorry, 1B. 1B. Not 1.6. My question is, when we were doing non-rep salaries, and we gave an approximate total raise of about $29,000, I recall a rough budget that had a 1% property tax. I don't remember if the nonprofit was in that, but it balanced. We balanced, and that was about 2 months ago.
Right, so, and the reason it balanced was we put in a pretty big number for the Meadows housing starts in 2015. We've scaled that way back.
You said 50?
Yeah, we're down to like 17 or something, assumption. So that kind of killed that.
Yeah, for the Meadows, we have, as you can see here, we have a four-year...
And that's the big
estimation.
That's the big change.
So yes, 50, big change.
So, yep. So my question is, I feel like we made some decisions, salary decisions, a month or so ago, assuming certain revenues that would all kind of even out. Now we're 100 short. So I'd probably start the next meeting with that line of thought.
Sure. We kind of reduced it at kind of some council members' request to be more conservative on revenue planning.
Because this four-year inflow is a year longer than the developer is telling us they want to take. So if we go with what they say, we would get more revenue earlier.
Yeah.
Conservatively, we said, okay, let's assume that their marketing isn't going
to
be as
great. Staff said 50 to us.
Yep.
6 weeks ago.
Yep.
Because that's what they told us.
Sometimes they
and they're still saying that.
They haven't changed it.
They're
still going with 17.
We're
applying some English to
it. Wanted to really be
conservatism.
Well, I wanted to find, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Break till 6 o'clock.